वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 9, Brahma's Prayers for Creative Energy, Text Number 16. Word-to-word translation. Yaha, one who. Why? Certainly. Aham cha. Also I. Girishah cha. Also Shiva. Vibhu, the Almighty, Swayam, personality, as Vishnu, Cha, and Sthiti, maintenance, Udbhava, creation, Pralaya, dissolution, Hetavaha, the causes, Atma Moolam, self-rooted. Bhitva, having penetrated. Tripath, three trunks. Vavruddhe, grew. Ekaha, one without a second. Uru, many. Praroha, branches. Tasmai, unto him. Namaha, obeisances. Bhagavate, unto the personality of Godhead. Bhuvanadrumaya, unto the tree of the planetary system. So, translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Your Lordship is the prime root of the tree of the planetary systems. This tree has grown by first penetrating the material nature in three trunks as me, Shiva, and you, the Almighty, for creation, maintenance, and dissolution. And we three have grown with many branches. Therefore, I offer my obeisances unto you, the tree of the cosmic manifestation. So, translation responsively, please. Your Lordship is the prime root of the tree of the planetary systems. This tree has grown by first penetrating the material nature, in three trunks as me, Shiva and you, the Almighty. For creation, maintenance, and dissolution. And we three have grown with many branches. Therefore, I offer my obeisances unto you, the tree of the cosmic manifestation. Purport. The cosmic manifestation is grossly divided into three worlds: the upper, lower, and middle planetary systems. And then it broadens into the cosmos of 14 planetary systems with the manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the Supreme Root. Material nature, which appears to be the cause of the cosmic manifestation, is only the agency or energy of the Lord. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9.10. Maya adhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Only under the superintendence of the Supreme Lord does material nature appear to be the cause of all creation, maintenance, and dissolution. The Lord expands himself into three, Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva, for maintenance, creation, and destruction respectively. Of the three principal agents controlling the three modes of material nature, Vishnu is the Almighty, even though he is within material nature for the purpose of maintenance. He is not controlled by the laws of material nature. The other two, Brahma and Shiva, although almost as greatly powerful as Vishnu, are within the control of the material energy of the Supreme Lord. The conception of many gods controlling the many departments of material nature is ill-conceived of by the foolish pantheists. God is one without a second, and he is the primal cause of all causes, as there are many departmental heads of governmental affairs, and there are many heads of management of the universal affairs. Due to a poor fund of knowledge, the impersonalist does not believe in the personal management of things as they are. But in this verse, it is clearly explained that everything is personal and nothing is impersonal. We have already discussed this point in the introduction, and it is confirmed herein in this verse. The tree of material manifestation is described in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita as an Ashwadha tree whose roots are upward. We have actual experience of such tree when we see the shadow of a tree on the bank of a reservoir of water. The reflection of the tree on the water appears to hang down from its upward roots. The tree of creation described here is only a shadow of the reality, which is Parabrahman Vishnu. In the internal potential manifestation of the Vaikuntha Lokas, the actual tree exists, and the tree reflected in the material nature is only the shadow of this actual tree. The impersonalist theory that Brahman is void of all variegatedness is false, because the shadow tree described in Bhagavad Gita cannot exist without being the reflection of a real tree. The real tree is situated in the eternal existence of spiritual nature, full of transcendental varieties, and Lord Vishnu is the root of that tree also. The root is the same, the Lord, both for the real tree and the false. But the false tree is only perverted reflection of the real tree. The Lord, being the real tree, is here offered obeisances by Brahma, as Brahma on his own behalf and also on behalf of Lord Shiva. Om jnana timrantasya jnana chana shalakaya chakshurin militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya mano bhishtam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamahyam dadati svapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri yuta patakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajadam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpade Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanda Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhutair Mahabhir Yaima Puro Vibhu Nirmaya Shete Yadamusha Purusha Bhunte Gunan Shodasha Shodashatmaka Soran Krishishta Bhagavan Vacham Sime Hare Krishna. Brahma continues his prayers for creative energy. So he is right in front of Garbhodakashaya Vishnu, and he is offering his respects unto the Lord. Here the Lord is described as what? Bhuvanadrumaya, Bhuvanadruma. He is addressed as tree of the cosmic manifestation. So this is very interesting form of address to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada, in the beginning of the purport itself, makes it very clear that there is difference between the Supreme Lord and the demigods, because it is a very general misconception if anyone is born in India, especially. That is, and also when people outside India, when they look upon the Vedic culture, they say, you have many gods. That is the general understanding. Last night, one incident happened in relation to that. I met one girl and speaking to her, and she was from India, and she was telling, yeah, we're speaking about Bhagavad Gita a little bit. Then immediately she said, actually it doesn't matter, right, whether you worship Krishna or anyone else, we can choose whoever we want to worship. And my dadi, my grandma, right, dadi is grandma, right, dadi has told to worship, you know, some goddess name, you know, I don't know the name, a different name she told, yeah, that's it. So if you actually look into, ask anyone who is worshipping any demigods, or anyone, but if you ask them, how did you understand, why do you worship this particular demigod, the most frequent answer is, my grandma told me. That is the most frequent answer so far what I have heard. So there is no basis to our answer. Anything will do. Say, suppose if we want to buy a mobile phone, people will do so much of research, right? They will go to a shop, they will check out the price plans, they will go to the internet, they will read a few reviews. Even to just to buy a gadget, we do a lot of research because money is involved. But when it comes to understanding something which is beyond the material nature, something which is transcendental, then there is no need of any research. We can just pick and choose whatever one wants. The same person, if he or she wants to get a partner in her life or his life, they won't mind, you know, checking out. They won't ask grandma, is the right person? No, they have their own perceptions, right? But only when it comes to spirituality, they have such a strong family binding. And they want to do something, even though they don't do anything, but internally they think, okay, I'm following something. So this is it's a bit funny. And people actually get into such a complicated things with worshipping the demigods. You know, there are dedicated days to worship different demigods. You know, Sunday is dedicated for sun god, Surya Dev. And they have the weekly calendar whom to worship. One day I went to one of my auntie's place when I was in India. And she was giving me the list. You know, Monday here, Tuesday here. Monday, you know, Monday is for Lord Shiva. Right? Monday is for Lord Shiva. And they have to do the particular puja, Abhishek for the Shiva Linga. So, and Tuesday is for Hanuman, Ganesh, Durga. There are a list of them. Actually, it is not possible to worship all the demigods individually. Is it possible? 33 crore means 330 million demigods are there. I heard in one of the temples in India, they have made sculptures of 100,000 or something like that, demigods. So it's so complicated. Even if you allocate one day for each demigod, in one's lifespan, one cannot worship all the demigods. We may need to have hourly worship. Even hourly won't be sufficient. Maybe every minute one has to worship a particular demigod. Then probably one can cover many of them in one's lifetime. So this is our situation. And Wednesday is dedicated for? Anyone knows? I think for many people it is Vittal, Krishna. And for Thursday? Brihaspati. Wednesday. So Wednesday people anyway. Brihaspati. So Thursday you mean. Okay. You are check according to the astrological calendar. Generally, Thursday people worship Vishnu. Yeah, that is all. Sai Baba is also there. That's right. Sai Baba is also there in the list. And Friday for? Lakshmi Devi. Look, we are getting the answer, experienced answers. And Saturday for? Shani. So this is only a partial list, okay? So one has to really, you know, very elaborate list of worship. These are classified demigods. What to speak about unclassified demigods and babas? So there is an unlimited number, practically speaking. And people are dedicated for such kind of worship out of sentiments. Just out of sentiments. So this is the story of one of the disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was a German scholar. He visited India and he was checking out the Vedic culture. And he saw, he was going to different temples and he was seeing different demigods. So whenever he saw different devatas, he could see they all had weapons. Durga had her, you know, trident. You know, Lord Shiva also had trident. And if you, even Vishnu had his, you know, Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. And if you go to Lord Ramachandra, even Lord Ramachandra had his dhanu, had his, what is that? The bow and arrow. So everyone had some, even Ganesh had some weapon. Everyone had some weapon. And when it came to Krishna, he saw that Krishna was simply enjoying playing upon his flute. So he actually came to an intelligent conclusion that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he's just playing and enjoying and he has nothing to do with anything practically. No functional duties. So he came to this conclusion and eventually he met with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and he took initiation from him. So he became his initiated disciple. So this is, you know, just seeing from a normal perspective, you know, who to worship. And Bhagavad Gita makes it very clear who to worship. Bhagavad Gita, there are so many statements that, you know, the distinction between demigods and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is made very clear in Bhagavad Gita so many times. Even though people do read Bhagavad Gita, but they don't come to the right conclusion, unfortunately. And even they come to know that, okay, Krishna is saying that, okay, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and whatever material desires that are being fulfilled by the demigods are ultimately coming from me. It is under my sanction. Even though they read such statements, they cannot accept. They still want to go on with their sentimental attachments. The Bhagavad Gita says, it is avidhipurvakam, 9th chapter. Worshipping demigods is avidhipurvakam. It is illegitimate. It's not the direct approach of worship. Everyone has the tendency to worship, but it is used in a wrong way. And as devotees, we think we have no attachments for the demigods. Some people, there are cases in which the devotees still maintain attachment to demigods in a wrong way. The pujas which they used to perform when they were not a devotee, still they want to continue. So this is not right. There are people who are still continuing such kind of worship and they can't give up because of strong attachment. However, even practicing devotees who are serious, still we may not worship any demigods, but at the same time we can have demigod mentality. That we have. What is the demigod mentality? Demigod mentality is that I am the servant of the Lord. I accept Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but still I have my plans to control and enjoy. So this is very well applicable to all of us. This is called the demigod mentality. I am devotee, that's all. Okay, Krishna is the Supreme Lord, but I want to control. And also, we want to ascribe the positions of demigods to different material people, like our boss, for example, if somebody is working. Who is maintaining me? My boss is maintaining me. Can you see? So this is actually posing the position of demigods to such people. So which is again wrong. Who is the maintainer? Krishna. So this is considered one of the basic elements of bhakti, the basic elements of surrender. Anukulyasya sankalpam, pratikulyasya varjanam, goptripte varanam tatha. So in the third statement, anukulyasya, accept which are favorable to devotion service and reject the things which are unfavorable to devotion service and understand that Krishna is the maintainer. So this is a challenge. We are being challenged by this, understanding Krishna is the maintainer. At work, even when living in an ashram, one can see that, one can think so many different things. That, you know, Krishna is not the real boss. I am not doing for Krishna. Such and such person is asking me to do these things. So really I don't want to do. So we need to see Krishna's hand. We need to see Krishna is ultimately, it is Krishna is the boss. We have to see this Radha Vallabha temple. So ultimate manager is Sri Sri Radha Vallabha. We have to see hand of Krishna, which is difficult, and we are being challenged. So that is because we are in the dham of Maya. As it is said, one Bhagavad Gita says, wherever, whoever you worship, ultimately you go to that God's place or demigod's place. That is Bhagavad Gita philosophy. Devan Devaya Joyanti. So one lady was telling that she worships Durga Devi. So what does that mean? After death, where can she go? She can go to Durga Dham, the abode of Durga. What is that? The material world. Similarly, if you worship any demigod, one's ultimate position is the material world. Because, as Srila Prabhupada said, the demigods, they belong to this world. Where Krishna doesn't belong to this world. Krishna belongs to the spiritual world. So there is a distinct classification in this regard. Now, this verse is speaking about Bhuvanadruva. Bhuvanadruma means the tree of cosmic manifestation. And Srila Prabhupada refers to the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Purushottam Yoga. Yoga of the Supreme Person. Where, again, a tree is mentioned very elaborately. Right? Urthamulam atho shaka ashutham prahuravyam chandamsi yasya parnani yastam veda sa vedavit. So this is a tree. This is the Ashwatha tree. And don't worry, we are also sitting in the Ashwatha tree or the banyan tree. We are part of the tree. We are sitting on the tree. So, we need to really understand about this tree, which is inconceivable. So, Bhagavad Gita says, it is very difficult to understand about this tree. However, by the transcendental knowledge, one can understand about this tree, this Ashwatha tree, where this tree is growing downwards and the roots upward. So, that's why it said, Urdha Moolam. Urdha means upward. Moolam. The roots are growing upwards. Adho Shakha. Adho means downward. Shakha, the branches. Ashwatham Ahur Avayam. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains the word Ashwatham in an interesting way. Ashwatham. Ashwatham means, Shwa means tomorrow. Shwa means in Sanskrit, Shwa means tomorrow. Ashwa means there is no tomorrow. Meaning that this tree doesn't have an eternal existence. Whatever is there today is not there tomorrow. And for the devotee, even though being situated in this tree doesn't exist because after this life, a devotee is going back to the spiritual world. So this tree is non-existent for such a devotee. And for a non-devotee also, it is non-existent because whatever he is attached to in this tree, it is going to perish. So this is the Ashwatha tree. And we are situated in this Ashwatha tree. And Chandamsi Yasya Parnani. Chandamsi means the Vedas are the leaves of this tree. It is said there are green leaves to this tree. And one may get attached to the green leaves of this tree, which are the fruitive activities which are mentioned in the Vedas. And what are the fruits of this tree? Dharmartha Kama Moksha. The religiosity, sense gratification, wealth, and ultimately liberation. These are considered fruits of this tree. And this tree is growing, and in this tree there are twigs and the tips of the branches. Tips of the branches are considered the senses, and the twigs are considered as sense objects. So everyone in this tree is trying to enjoy the fruits of this tree. Everyone wants sense gratification. Everyone wants their senses to be engaged in sense gratification. And what is the result of this sense gratification? Just suffering. It's very easy to see. If you don't know what is suffering, yes, we may have some experience in suffering in this world. Still, we may have some experience going on. But if you really want to know what is suffering, we don't need to do anything. Just go and speak to non-devotees. That's all. Just speak to them. Just spend some time with them in a personal way, because that is the essence of preaching. First, we need to know where they are at. Just speak to them. You can hear so many stories of suffering. Some of the suffering, they speak in great happiness as their enjoyment, whereas some of the suffering they present as suffering in itself. But everything is actually suffering. Just speak to people. So this is the essence of preaching. Just speak to them. Now when we preach, we get this opportunity. It's an eye-opener. Then we really feel that, okay, we need to preach. Because when you speak to people, we understand people are suffering. They can't control their mind. And they are completely being captivated by the desires. And where the whole tree is standing upon, just like, as Srila Prabhupada mentions, we have the direct experience of this tree. If you see a tree, and on the bank of a river or a reservoir of water, we can see the reflection of the tree where the branches are going, you know, downwards and the roots upwards. And the whole tree is resting on, the reflection is resting on the water. In the same way, the material existence is standing on the desires of the living entities. So one can see how people are suffering because of frustrated desires. People tell their account of their share of suffering. So many different ways. Right from their childhood. Family issues. Issues with intoxication. Loneliness. You name it. And false expectations from people which they can't meet. So many things. So we can hear, you know, unlimited problems in this tree of material existence. And because one has so many different kinds of experiences, another roots are grown in this tree. Those subsidiary roots are called attachment and aversion. If one gets some good experiences, one gets attached to that. And if one gets some bad experiences, one gets averse to that. Both attachment and aversion are two sides of the same coin. Both are material attachment, both are material. One gets something good, then one thinks, okay, I have to do this again and again. And after some time, they get frustrated. Then, oh, I don't want that anymore. These are based on material conception. There is nothing transcendental to it. It is completely material. And the whole tree is being nourished by the three modes of material nature, the gunas. Just like the water nourishes a plant, in the same way, the three modes of material nature is nourishing the whole tree. And the living entities, according to their desires, they get different kinds of bodies. And as they get different kinds of bodies, they are situated in the different branches of the tree. It is said this tree is so complicated. There are so many branches, there are so many twigs, and everything is intertwined. And one cannot find where the roots are. Everything is going in all different directions. And one is simply jumping from one branch to the next. As it is said, the roots are starting from the Brahmaloka and it is growing downwards. So one is jumping from one branch to the next. There was a beautiful painting of this tree. It was very good, showing different branches, and in different branches you can see different species of life. Some roots, some parts there are demigods, some part of the root there is Lord Brahma. Down you can see there are many living entities, different species. So what is happening? Basically it is happening tree jumping from one branch to the next. That is material existence. And Bhagavad Gita says, with determination, one has to chop this tree. So the whole idea of presenting this tree is that one has to chop this tree. One has to cut this down. So this is not our eternal home. This tree is not our eternal home. Rather, there is a tree which is our eternal home, which is the real tree. So Srila Prabhupada makes this a very, very simple but very powerful analogy that if there has to be a reflection, say if there is a, we can see the reflection in the water, which implies that there is a real water, sorry, the real tree. If there is real tree, there can be reflection. In the same way, if we see material varieties, that implies that there has to be spiritual varieties. There has to be eternal, substantial varieties. And only then there can be this reflection. As it is mentioned, Prabhupada gives the example of if you go to a desert, in the desert there is mirage. You can see the mirage. In the mirage, one thinks there is water. A deer can actually chase after that water. So actually, the water is real. there is real water. That is the reason one feels that there is water there. Or even though in the desert there is no water, but actually there is a concept of water and there is real existence of water. Similarly, we need to enjoy, we need to find happiness, which is real. Anandamayobhyasat. We are actually searching for happiness. Even though we are searching happiness in the wrong direction in the material world, in terms of sense gratification, but there is real happiness. So it is in spiritual existence. So the denial of spiritual variety is because of lack of knowledge. Can't understand that there is something which is existing, which is beyond matter. So with simple logic, they consider that, okay, there cannot be anything spiritual where there is manifestation of varieties. So that is the impersonalist misunderstanding. Now, how to cut this tree? It is said it is with determination. One has to chop this tree of material existence. So if we know the process, we know the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it's a powerful process of chopping the tree of material existence. And it is coming from another tree where this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is coming from. It is being propagated by another tree, another transcendental tree. So that is mentioned in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami mentions about this tree, this particular tree, which is very, very interesting, because this tree is the tree of Lord Chaitanya. So Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, Malakara Swayam Krishna Premamara Taru Swayam Dada Bhokta Tadhalana Tas Chaitanya Mashraye. So this tree is the Lord Chaitanya tree. It is called Premamara Taru Swayam. It is a tree of love of Godhead. And this tree is Lord Chaitanya himself. The tree himself is Lord Chaitanya. This is a transcendental tree, which is Sri Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is mentioned that there is actually the seed of this tree. Who is the seed of this Lord Chaitanya tree? Who knows? Who is the tree of the Lord Chaitanya tree? Exactly. Srila Madhavendrapuri. So Madhavendrapuri is the seed of Lord Chaitanya tree. So Madhavendrapuri was a sannyasi in the Madhva tradition. And so far, no one had manifested love of Godhead in terms of love of Godhead following in the footsteps of residents of Vrindavan. That was in the sampradaya of starting from Sri Madhvacharya. So Madhavendrapuri manifested this love for Godhead. So he is considered, since he manifested in our tradition, that is in the Madhva Gaudiya tradition, for the first time, he is considered as the seed of the Chaitanya tree. So it is mentioned, there is a very famous verse in which he reveals his heart. He says that, Aidina Dayadra Nathahe Madhura Nathakim Alokyase Hridayam Tot Aloka Kataram Daida Brahmyatikim Karomyaham. So Madhavendrapuri said that on one level he said Aidina Dayadra Nathahe. He considered himself as fallen and poor. And he addressed Lord Krishna as Madhura Natha. Now you are the Lord of Madhura. So Madhavendrapuri addressed Lord Krishna as the master of Madhura, following in footsteps of Srimati Radharani. Just like the residents of Vrindavan would feel separation for Krishna, in the same way, Madhavendrapuri felt separation for Krishna. And he narrated this verse, that now Krishna has left Vrindavan and he is the master of the queens of Madhura. And I am missing you. So I am becoming completely bewildered because of separation from you. So what can I do now? Kim karomyaham? What can I do now? And when will I see you again? So in this mood was demonstrated by Madhavendrapuri, and Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that this verse is the seed of love of Godhead. Particularly this verse is actually showing the vipralamba bhav, the love in separation. So this is considered the seed of love of Godhead. And from this seed, who came? Who was the, you know, the beginning? This seed actually sprouted as? Anyone knows? Who is the sprout of this seed? Isharapuri, that's right. Isharapuri is the sprout of this seed. Because Isharapuri, Sri Isharapuri got the mercy of Madhavendrapuri by very sincerely serving him. And his devotion grew so much that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself became the disciple of Sri Isharapuri. So it is said, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the trunk of the tree. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is the trunk of this tree. So the seed is Madhavendrapuri, the initial sprout is Isharapuri, and the trunk of this tree is Lord Mahaprabhu himself. And it is said, who are the roots of this tree? The primary roots, I'll just read from Chaitanya Charitamrita. There is a list of principal roots of this tree. Paramananda Puriyar Keshava Bharati, Brahmananda Puriyar Brahmananda Bharati, Vishnu Puri Keshava Puri Puri Krishnananda, Srinarsimha Tirtha Ar Puri Sukhananda, E Nava Mula Ni Kasila Vriksha Mule, E Nava Mule Vriksha Korila Nishchale. So these eight roots are the eight sannyasis. They are the disciples of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it is said the trunk of Lord Chaitanya stood erect, fixed by these eight roots, which grew in eight different directions. They are Brahmananda Puri, Keshava Bharati, Brahmananda Puri, Brahmananda Bharati, Vishnu Puri, Keshava Puri, Krishnananda Puri, Narasimha Tirtha, and Sukhananda Puri. So, they are the principal roots of this Chaitanya tree. And it is said, then from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this tree started growing again and again. And there are two principal branches to this tree. So, trunk was bifurcated into two branches. And who are they? Exactly. Nityananda Prabhu and Advaitacharya. And from there, tree was growing again and again into sub-branches, twigs. So it was just growing in numerous directions, filling the world. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he thought to himself, why he actually became the tree in itself? Because he thought, my name is Vishvambhara. Vishvambhara means one who maintains the entire universe. So if I want to maintain the entire universe, it is naturally, it is not by any material arrangement, but it is by spreading the love of Godhead. So he himself became the tree to spread the love of Godhead. And it is mentioned that this tree is alaukika, meaning it is completely supernatural. It is completely spiritual, that this tree can go anywhere. It can spread the whole world. This tree can be in any part of the world and still it can produce the fruit. And what is the fruit of this tree? The fruit of this tree is premaphal. It is the love of Godhead. So it can be in any part of the world. It is not necessary it has to be in a particular region. It can go anywhere and it can spread the glory. So this is Lord Chaitanya tree. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed all of us that one has to spread these teachings. That's where the most famous verse comes, right? Bharata Bhumile, Bhumite Hoile, Manushya Janmaya, Janma Sarthaka Kori, Karo Paropakar. So if you take birth in Bharata Bhumi, one has to perfect one's life by spreading this knowledge. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, it is not just for people who have taken birth in the Bharata Bhumi in India, but for everyone, it is the prime duty to spread this knowledge, to share this knowledge to others. So it's just like Mahaprabhu, he enjoyed himself the fruit of this tree. Similarly, we need to enjoy the fruit of this tree according to our own capacity, and we need to preach according to our own capacity. So it is an ever-growing tree. In fact, the verse after this, Bharata Bhumite Hoila Manisha Janmayar, it is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, where Lord Krishna tells this verse to Lord Balaram. So they were in the forest, and as they were walking in the forest, they saw that the trees were bowing down in front of them, because they are also special trees, Kalpadruma, Kalpavriksha. They are transcendental trees in the spiritual world. And they were paying obeisances, and seeing these trees paying obeisances, Krishna told Lord Balaram that, look at these trees. They are so wonderful. They are all paying obeisances unto you, seeing your glories. So in that way, he glorified the trees as well as Lord Balaram. And then he narrated this verse, Etavat janma sabalyam dehinam api dehishu praner ardher dhya vacha shreya acharanam sada. He said, anyone who had accepted a human form of life, actually etavat janma dehinam api dehishu, he just makes it very common, particularly to the human beings, but anyone, the janma sabalyam, the perfection of one's life is by helping others. And how it needs to be done, he says, pranayar, by one's own life, arthayar, one's own wealth, dhya means with one's own intelligence, and vacha, by one's own words. So using in all the capacities, one needs to spread this knowledge, one needs to give the real knowledge to everyone. So this is the teaching of Krishna, this is the teaching of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And by doing that, we also actually get purified. Because we need, in devotional service, in fact, we need to pray very sincerely. And if there are tests, we do pray sincerely. Suppose if you want to preach, let it be any form of preaching, if you want to really convince someone about any aspect of Krishna consciousness, and we always feel we really need help. If you do any kind of preaching, let it be book distribution, if you give lectures, if you just try to cultivate someone, if you want to give this knowledge, we feel challenged. Then that is a good time for us to pray sincerely to Krishna. So it is said, doing this process of preaching, by sharing this knowledge to everyone, we naturally become advanced, because we become very sincere in our prayers. Because we understand we are least potent in sharing this knowledge and influencing others. We don't have any potency. So when we do pray to Krishna for his mercy, then we can see that, okay, the preaching mission becomes successful, and also our consciousness becomes purified. So this is a double-edged process. We can help others, and simultaneously we can get helped ourselves. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's vision. And now Lord Brahma is paying obeisances along with Lord Shiva to this tree. So this tree is ultimately, it's not just the material world in itself, but it is referring to transcendental Lord, and he is begging for creative energy. Because now he is also in a mission where he wants to do a very difficult task, and he wants the mercy of the Lord. And now he is actually praying to the Supreme Lord for his mercy, so that he can do the task which he was assigned for. Now I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. The three modes of material nature are the origin, means the source. Are you asking the source?
Yeah, like the reflection as well. So what's up there? I mean, what corresponds to the modes of material nature in the spiritual world?
Strictly speaking, there is nothing which is exactly the reflection of this, you know, there is nothing correspond to, you know, mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance in the spiritual world. Because the reflection we need to understand. At the same time, there are spiritual elements, the spiritual energies. The three modes of material nature is the material energy, Maya energy. It is threefold. Trigunamayi. Trigunamayi. So, if you ask what is the spiritual equivalent, we can see the three energies in the spiritual world also, but it's not considered exactly the reflection. You know, Santini, Samvit, and Ladini Shaktis. We can see different spiritual energies, multifarious spiritual energies in the spiritual world. So we can see the counterpart is there in the spiritual world. And there are other spiritual energies also. This is material energy, and there are spiritual energies in the spiritual world. But it's not really corresponding to the goodness. There is no corresponding energy in the spiritual world. It's not like that. It's generally the Maya energy, the spiritual energy. So that is the external energy, Bahiranga Shakti. So if you ask what is the counterpart of Bahiranga Shakti, that is Antaranga Shakti. What is the counterpart of external energy? That is the spiritual energy, the internal energy of Krishna. In the sense, in terms of propagating the Krishna consciousness movement and not necessarily taking a diksha from him. Yeah. For example, Paramananda Puri. You know, Paramananda Puri, he didn't take diksha from Mahaprabhu. Similarly, even Brahmananda Puri, he didn't take diksha from Mahaprabhu. They were already sannyasis, established sannyasis. At the same time, say for example, Brahmananda Bharati, we know the pastime of Brahmananda Bharati, he was a sannyasi, he was fixed in meditating upon Brahman from his childhood. It is mentioned, from his childhood he was an impersonalist. And Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri and he went to meet with Brahmananda Bharati. So when he saw Brahmananda Bharati, Brahmananda Bharati had a transformation to his heart, just seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, just by seeing Mahaprabhu, he became a personalist. And he developed love of Godhead. So, in that way, it's an initiation. Dasikrita gobhavadhu vitena. He became a damsel of Vrindavan. He realized his eternal position as a gopi in Vrindavan. So, in that way, oh yeah, he got initiation, higher initiation by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Paramananda Puri, he was, you know, Uddhava in his previous pastimes. He was also a sannyasi even before Mahaprabhu. It is said in the sannyas leela of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the one who actually gave the danda to Mahaprabhu was Paramananda Puri. So, you know, they are still acting as servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In that way, they are disciples of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because everyone knows, they know that Mahaprabhu is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yeah. Yes, depends on the time, place, circumstance, how when we connect to some people, we know how much to give, you know, some idea we get how much to give. If they ask questions, initially we may have some friends, then we may give more. Initially we try to build a relation and try to give whatever we can. So it varies. At least we had to make sure we are making a progressive step, because if somebody becomes friends with the devotees, that's a good step, because they are appreciating the devotees, which is very good. Appreciating devotees is appreciating bhakti, it's appreciating Krishna. So they are making progress in that way. Yeah. Okay. Yes, Mother. here we need to understand what is love of Godhead. It is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita that this particular love of Godhead is referring to love of Godhead following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. Yes, in the previous yugas, as it is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, even though one follows the stipulated Vaidhi process of bhakti, one can maximum go to the Vaikuntha planets. One cannot go to Golok Vrindavan. That is mentioned. So, generally, Yugavatar comes and they bestow process of devotional service. But they are restrained to the Aishwarya Dham. It is returned to the Vaikuntha Loka. There is no access to Golok Vrindavan. So that's why Sri Rupa Goswami glorifies Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the a verse which is quoted in the very beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Anarpida charim chirat tarunaya avatirnakalav. Anarpida charim chirat. Chirat means for a long time. Anarpita. It has never been bestowed. Arpida means being bestowed. Anarpida, not being bestowed. Anarpida charim chirat. For a long time. This love of Godhead had never been bestowed upon the living entities. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Karunaya, out of mercy, out of causeless compassion, Karunaya avatirna kalau. So he has appeared in this kalau, in this Kali Yuga. Samarpayidu munnato ujjala rasam swabhakti shriyam. To give what? Unnata ujjala rasam. Unnata means the highest. Ujjala rasam means madhuryaras, referring to conjugal love for Krishna. Ujjala rasam swabhakti shriyam, in the form of bhakti. Bhakti shriyam, the wealth of devotional service. So, Sri Rupa Goswami prays that Lord, let him be situated in the inner core, in the inner chambers of our heart. That Sachinandan, let him be illuminated in the inner chambers of our heart. So this is the prayer of Rupa Goswami in Vidagdha Madhava. So yes, it was in the previous yugas. Yeah. We don't understand the full the conjugal rasa of Krishna. We can't understand. That's right. In the conditioned state, we cannot understand fully, at least. Not possible. And even without our qualification, we don't even bother understanding the conjugal relation between Krishna and Radharani or the intimate gopis. We follow in the footsteps of our acharyas like Srila Prabhupada. As we progress in our devotion service, more and more we develop attraction for Radha and Krishna, and we understand more and more about the loving affairs of Krishna and his devotees. So we don't take a premature steps. So it's a progressive step. As in our sampradaya, it is very simple. As one develops attachment for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, and by preaching, the attraction for Radha and Krishna is automatically revealed. So these two are not separate. In one level of attachment for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is enough. Naturally, attraction for Radha and Krishna and the internal truths will be revealed. So one doesn't have to do anything particularly. We need to just follow sadhana bhakti, and we understand about Radha and Krishna according to our capacity. We can understand, because it's not that we are not making any progress. According to our spiritual progress, we do understand about Radha, about Krishna, about Krishna's loving affairs to some degree. But the level which are above us, we don't try to artificially understand. We don't try to pretend. Whatever we can understand, that is mercy of the Lord. Yeah, we take it. And that's it. Is that clear? Thank you very much. Granthraj Kimal Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.